Hello, everybody, and welcome to Mast Radio Sports Talk, being broadcast live from Pacific Lutheran University in Tacoma, Washington. We are coming at you from Lute Air Student Radio, that's Laser for short. I am your host, Christian Bond, accompanied today, as always, by Kellen Westring. Kellen, how's it going today, man?
You know, Christian, I'm doing great. It's great to be here today on a sunny Friday in Parkland, Washington. And, you know, Christian, my morning, it wasn't as good as last week's. You know, last week, for those of you scoring at home, I did the Frank's Donuts, you know, the Frank's Fridays, and I had a great workout to get the cardio, to get the carbs out of my system. And, you know, this Friday, I ended up not going to Frank's Donuts. And the reason is because I went Wednesday. I was so hungry. I wanted those donuts earlier in the week, and so I got those this Wednesday again. Frank's Donuts, folks, for those of you scoring at home on Pacific Avenue, you know, got to get that plug in there. Great donuts, fresh at 3 a.m., but I got a workout in today, Christian, so it's still a good morning. And, folks, if you want to read more about any of the stories you hear today, visit massmedia.plu.edu. Also, if at any time you want to call into the show and tell us what you think about what we're talking about, or really anything in the world of sports that you want our opinion on, the show number is 253-535-7332. That's 253-535-7332.
All right, man, let's jump right into it. Today, we're going to begin with the current reigning and defending Northwest Conference champions of baseball. That's right, let's go to the baseball diamond. Let's talk about PLU baseball. Are you a big baseball guy, Kellen?
You know, Christian, I am. You know, I played baseball basically from about second grade all the way till eighth grade. I go down to Peoria, Arizona every year for spring training. I've always been a big Mariners fan. Was a big Ichiro guy, wore number 51, played right field, did the, you know, the kind of the tradition thing that he did with his hands in his shirt every time before I went to bat. And
I like it.
You know, wasn't as good as Ichiro. I batted right-handed, didn't quite get as many hits as he did. But baseball's a fun game, but you got to have patience, no question about it. You got to have patience to enjoy the game of baseball. And, you know, it's funny, I took my girlfriend to a game a couple months ago, and her and I, you know, we're one of those things where we love, you know, action, we love football, you know, we love basketball, right. and the baseball, nine innings, it's a little bit slow, but it's a fun time. Baseball's fun.
Right. You know, I'm glad you mentioned patience because, you know, POU was picked in the conference poll to win the conference again this year, you know, after the departure of Coach Jeff Loomis. He's at Portland State, I believe, or something
right
now.
You know what's awesome? He's living in Puyallup. So he's got an apartment in Portland. His wife has a big-time job, but he's living in Puyallup and, you know, he's a Puyallup native. And so it's pretty amazing how he and his wife have both, you know, coexisted. And she's supporting his dreams. He's supporting her dreams. But, yeah, he lives in Puyallup, also has an apartment in Portland. So it's a pretty cool sacrifice.
Very nice. That's a fun story. Anyway, these guys were picked to finish, you know, atop the conference. And they opened their season down in Hillsboro, Oregon, at the Northwest Conference Invitational Tournament. You know, they played George Fox, Willamette, Pacific, and Linfield. And, you know, those are all teams they're going to see multiple times this year. You know, they got off to a slow start. They were the 1-3 in that weekend, you know.
Right.
As we look at the scores here, their very first game, Friday, February 5th, they lost 4-1 to Willamette. Don't know much about Willamette. The team, you know, they accumulated 7 hits, so they were getting a bat on the ball.
Right.
They just couldn't turn it into runs. And sometimes that happens in baseball.
No question about it. And you look at, you know, they have a new coach this year, and it's one of those things where, you know, like we mentioned before, the key word is patience when it comes to baseball. But, you know, they're kind of starting to get hot again, and it's one of those things where every team has to adjust when you have a new coach. You know, you look at the Cavaliers this season, you know, David Black gets fired, Tyronn Lue takes over, and it's pretty cool that, you know, Tyronn Lue didn't do very well this year in the first couple games, but now he's at a hot start. You got to have patience with the new coach coming in, and now PLU is kind of off and going, and it's pretty cool to see their new coach doing so well.
Right. I mean, you know, we'll talk a little bit about their coach right now. Nolan Sody has taken over. Nolan isn't necessarily new.
Right.
Nolan's been here for about a decade, both
exactly.
As a player and a coach. You know, if, you know, I'm making the hire as a coach, I'm going to take someone who's worked closely with Jeff Loomis, who had a ton of success here. You know, why not pick one of his right-hand men in Nolan Sody?
Exactly. What a great hire, you know, by Lori Turner, our head athletic director here at Pacific Lutheran University, because she knows that sometimes guys respect, especially, you know, when you're in the program a long time. I got a buddy, Ben Welch, who plays football and baseball. He was very, very happy with the hire because he knows this new coach knows the team. He knows the culture of PLU baseball. And so what a great hire by Lori Turner, Christian.
Exactly. You know, the weekend – that opening weekend didn't get much better for PLU. They played George Fox. you know, it was a very high scoring game that would have been very entertaining for you and your girlfriend. Final score ended up being 9-8 in favor of George Fox, though. So, you know, defending champs picked to do it again, off to a slow start, 0-2. They turned it around, though, in the third game Saturday, February 6th. They played a nice, clean game against Pacific. They won 3-1. Again, 7 hits, 3 runs. Good pitching performance from, let's see, who pitched? Corey Nelson pitched that game. Mm-hmm. We're gonna talk a little bit later about Corey
Nelson.
Exactly,
he came back and bounced back for sure.
He had a good game, a left-handed pitcher. Yeah, that pretty much wrapped up that weekend, though. So, anyway, this last weekend, POU was in town for their conference opener against Linfield Wildcats. You know, I was excited to work the games. I was going to get the chance to do the broadcast. Right. However, we had some technical difficulties inside the press box. Didn't get a chance to do that. Mm-hmm. So I sat outside and was cold like everybody else.
Yep.
Updating the scoreboard on the live stream. I'm sitting there for game one. I'm really excited. You know, I'm a big baseball guy. I helped coach with the high school. I played it all my life.
Right.
Game one, and I'm sitting there and I'm watching the game. You know, and we get 5 innings deep, and I start to realize that POU hasn't got a hit yet. I mean, I'm sitting there going, wow, this is a no-hitter. You know, Linfield's pitcher was able to hold POU hitless through the first 6 innings.
And that's not easy to do. I mean, you talk about, you know, 3 batters every single inning. That's very, very impressive there by Tyler Thompson for Linfield.
Yeah, it was impressive. And, you know, about the 7th inning is when you start to kind of go, oh, they don't have any hits. This could actually happen.
Only 2 more innings, this could be a no-hitter.
Exactly. You know, Linfield had a narrow lead, 2-0. That isn't much. Tyler Thompson came up about the 8th inning, hit a line drive shot over the left field wall for 2 runs, tied it up, and that was a real, real fun way to excite the crowd and get everyone into the baseball game there in the late innings.
Well, yeah, like you said, Linfield added 5 runs there in the top of the 9th, and talk about a very, very, you know, high scoring 9th inning. 5 runs in any inning is very, very high scoring, but like you said, that put the game 7-2. You know, the team had 4 errors in that game, and, you know, didn't really help them defensively. So it's one of those things in baseball where it's offense and defense. You know, you can't just be a good offensive team. You got to be really, really good on both sides of the baseball.
Right, I agree with that 100%. You got to get it done on both ends of the field with the glove and with the bat. You know, moving on to game 2 of that series, you know, teams took a 20-minute break, you know, gathered themselves and got ready. And it was one of those things where, you know, last year people picked the Mariners to go to the World Series, and we saw how that worked out. You know, baseball is one of those games that's very fickle. It's,
absolutely.
You know, it's so tough to predict what's going to happen.
And it's a long season, and that's why I think when you think of baseball, what's the biggest word is patience.
Yeah.
You're on the bench. You're on the road. You're in spring training. You know, you're in hotels, and, you know, you're going to run out of sunflower seeds once in a while, so you got to have patience.
Right. Anyway, like I said, in the first game against Linfield, which was literally, you know, a couple hours before the second one, POU was held hitless through the first 6 innings, you know, and then all of a sudden in the second game, you know, the team scored 5 runs in the first 3 innings. It all clicked.
Right, exactly. And like we said, it takes time, especially, again, it's, you know, just the beginning games of the season. You know, you're going to get your rhythm going, and that's why this whole POU coaching staff has patience, and that's the bottom line.
That's exactly right. POU would, you know, they kept on playing. They added on 2 runs in the 5th, another one in the 6th. Great pitching performance from Cole Johnson. I believe he pitched, you know, the first couple innings of the game. Leif Hansen came on in relief and pitched really well. They held Linfield in the second game to only 3 runs. POU won game 2 of the doubleheader 8-3, which was a great way to bounce back from the tough loss in the first game.
Exactly. And like you said, it's so funny how, I mean, these baseball games are played, you know, so quickly after, so you have to have a very short memory. You have to flush it. You know, in the POU football program, Christian, we have that motto. You have to flush plays. You have to have a short memory, especially as a quarterback. But
right.
Also, you think of baseball, strike 1, strike 2. You got to forget those strikes and, you know, choke up in the bat and enjoy the process.
Right, exactly. Moving on, we came back on Sunday. The game was delayed. It was scheduled for a noon start time. And, you know, we were all looking at our weather apps and we said, you know, even though this is a turf infield, it's going to rain a lot.
And it's one of the best, in my opinion, one of the best baseball fields in the Northwest Conference.
I asked the guys often. I said, what's the best setup? And they all say, well, it's ours.
Right. And when we travel, you know, for football, we get to see these other sports complexes. And no question about it, I think POU baseball has, you know, I don't think there's many turf fields in the Northwest Conference. There might be one or two, but no question, it's up there.
Which is one thing that, you know, I think by the time, you know, I'm getting – 20 now, but by the time I'm 50, I think that most fields in the Northwest area of this country should be turf.
I agree. No question.
You know, you're going to get to play no matter what.
Just like in Minnesota, you probably should have a dome. You know, they were playing in the University of Minnesota's football field where it was outside, and obviously that could have been the reason why they missed the field goal in the playoffs.
You know, yeah, it is what it is, man. But, you know, we'll see more teams turn over to that turf infield, and POU's ahead of the charge, and it's a real nice setup. You guys should take time whenever POU baseball's in town to get over to the baseball field and spend time out in the sun and watch a baseball game. It's real fun. Anyway, moving on to game three of the series. Corey Nelson was on the mound. He's a left-handed pitcher. You know, the guys kind of describe him as funky, I believe is the word that they used. You know, lots of changeups, lots of curveballs. He kind of had a shaky start. He gave up two runs early, two runs in the second inning. You know, but the POU offense, you know, they had his back. They came back and they added, you know, five runs throughout the game. That led them to a winning performance. They won 5-2 over Linfield. They took the series, you know, 2-1, which was a great way to bounce back from the rough start early in the season, you know, and sends a message to the rest of the conference that, you know, coaches and people in charge picked POU to win, and that's what POU plans on doing.
Exactly, Christian. The great thing about sports is, you know, you can compare players to other players, and you know, Corey Nelson kind of reminds me a little bit of Jamie Moyer.
Right.
You know, doesn't throw a lot of fastballs, but likes to throw the changeups, likes to throw the curveballs, likes to keep the, you know, likes to keep the hitters honest, and talk about, again, a short memory as a pitcher. You know, when you give up two runs early, and I think he had a complete game, if I'm corrected.
He did.
He had a complete game. So you talk about discipline, you talk about being able to respond to adversity. Corey Nelson, you know, who's a buddy of mine, went to Bethel High School in the SPSL, and being able to stay in the mound and be a tough-minded optimist, it was so awesome to see that.
Yeah, absolutely. You know,
and Christian, I believe Jeff Loomis went to University of Portland, not
right.
Portland State.
All right. Well, we know where Jeff is. He's having fun somewhere else, and PLU is going to keep on trucking.
Right.
One of the fun, you know, moments from that game is, you know, POU was able to chase Kaysen Cunningham out of the game in only 3 2/3 of an innings. That brought up catcher Matt Vick. Matt Vick's a right-handed hitter. Linfield went to the bullpen and brought in a right-handed pitcher. Nolan Sody went to his bench. He brought in Frankie Airy. Airy's a left-handed hitting catcher, which, you know, in any aspect of baseball is extremely valuable, being able to play the matchups. Sody went to the matchup. Frank came in, and Frank lined a double into the gap, which scored, you know, one of the early runs of the game and really got the offense started. So it was cool to see how the, you know, the matchup game worked. You know, you see it all the time in the major league level, and, you know, seeing Sody go to it here was fun to see.
Exactly. I mean, you look at baseball, you know, you look at the obviously the pitching mound, and you know you look at the bullpen, and sometimes, you know, a right-handed pitcher will come in for, you know, an inning or even maybe one batter, and then they'll go switch and they'll go get a lefty. So baseball, it's kind of a chess game. You know, it's not checkers. You know, you got to take your time. And I think, like we've said this P word about 8 times already here on the broadcast, but it's all about patience, and you kind of have to understand that it's a very, very slow game. But that's what baseball is all about. So
absolutely. This weekend, the Lutes head down to Pacific. They play a doubleheader on Saturday, the 27th. First game is scheduled for 11 a.m. There was a threat of weather
right
in the area, so they actually moved the game. Rather than playing it in Hillsboro, where Pacific is located, they're going to play in Clackamas, which, you know, you got to do that sometimes when your infield isn't turf. You got to find a new place to play.
Right, and talking to senior captain center fielder Tanner Bogart, he said he hasn't played at Pacific since his freshman year. So it's almost been every year they've had to kind of readjust and audible to a different stadium, or excuse me, a field to play when it comes to Pacific.
That's absolutely right. You know, I think we're gonna head into a break right now. You know, when we come back, Kellen wrote a story for the Mast, talking about how Steph Curry has changed the NBA. We're going to let Kellen take over when we come back right after this.
Welcome back, sports fans, to Mass Radio Sports Talk. This is a convergence of mass media with Lou Air Student Radio. Most of the stories Christian and I are bringing to you today can be found on massmedia.plu.edu. Remember, if you want to call into the show today, you can do so with the number 253-535-7332. Once again, that's 253-535-7332. So, you know, Christian, we don't like change. And I think that, you know, there's times where, you know, you drove by Wendy's a couple of years ago and, you know, it's the classic Wendy's. It's the classic fast food place.
Right.
You know, now you drive by Wendy's now and it's just like, it's almost a 5-star restaurant. I mean, it looks unbelievable, and people take some time. They don't like it right away. They like their old school stuff. And that's kind of what's happening in the NBA right now with Steph Curry. Now, I wrote an article for the mass media called Steph Curry Has Changed the Game of Basketball. And I'll read this to you here, and then you know, we'll get your thoughts, Christian. So I start off by saying, I am lucky enough to live with a guy who is a monthly Sports Illustrated subscriber. As I was reading this month's edition, I saw that Steph Curry was recently ranked the 31st basketball player of all time. A lot of people were shocked because he's just a baby and still has a long career ahead of him. I 100% agree with Sports Illustrated that he should already be ranked this high, and I will tell you why right now. Steph Curry is a generational game changer. I believe he's changing the culture in America. Some athletes change the culture for the better, and some change it for the worst. He's made ball handling and a three-point shot cool in every gym in America. Kids want to be this guy because he looks young and isn't blessed physically by NBA standards. He's 6'3", and so they are realistically able to relate to him a little bit more. Kids didn't grow up wanting to be Yao Ming or Shaq. They want to be Steph Curry. Junior Ricky Young has this to say about Steph. I believe he's the greatest shooter of all time already. There is no one that can shoot like him. He will pull up from three anywhere on the court. There is no such thing as a bad shot when Steph shoots the ball. You take a look at Wilt Chamberlain, who's ranked number 2 on the greatest players of all time list in Sports Illustrated. How many people since Wilt have mastered the skyhook? Zero. Not a single player want to do the skyhook. Don't get me wrong, Wilt Chamberlain is an amazing basketball player and deserves to be ranked number 2. But he didn't change the way 9, 10, 11, and 12-year-olds boys are playing at home. Steph Curry is changing the game. Little boys pick up a basketball now and want to go shoot three-pointers. Again, he looks like a young kid. The way he dribbles the ball and shoots is just mesmerizing. Some of my housemates were upset because he's ahead of Kevin Garnett on the list. Now, Kevin Garnett is an all-time great talent, don't get me wrong. But what little boy grew up wanting to be Kevin Garnett? Not that many. Every little boy wants to be Steph Curry. Don't we consider Elvis Presley and Rolling Stones as higher up the music food chain of all time because they changed the way other bands and musicians thought and performed? That is exactly why I'm totally okay with Steph Curry being ranked the 31st greatest basketball player of all time at only the age of 27. The scary thing is he has about 8 to 10 more solid years left in him. He still may be a baby, but he's a baby with a heck of a resume already. Christian, your thoughts just kind of on Steph Curry, the way he's changing the basketball game.
I think that you hit the nail on the head with several of the points that you made. You know, the thing that catches everyone's attention is the way that he shoots the ball, is the way that he is, you know, not a giant by NBA standards. He is, you know, physically relatable, which is something that, you know, it gets people excited about it. You know, it creates, like you said, it creates dreams in kids. Like, you know, they see Steph Curry and they're, you know, he ain't very big. You don't have to be very big anymore. And that's one of the cool things about him. What I think should be praised maybe more so than his shooting is his ball handling.
Right.
You know, once you get a little bit of instruction on how to shoot a basketball, it's fun to go practice. Like, I do it in my spare time now. I'll go shoot hoops.
Right.
It's fun.
We played the other day.
Right, exactly. But, you know, you can remember back to maybe high school practice or, you know, just on your own. You really, you know, ball handling was the tedious part of practice. Everyone wants to get through it. You know, Steph is kind of, the way he's able to get away from people while dribbling the ball should maybe be praised higher than his shooting, I think.
That's a great point, Christian. And I think ball handling is very, very underrated. You go to YouTube, you type in Steph Curry workouts, you see this guy, two balls, you know, in each hand dribbling, and he's just competing, and he knows that that's what it takes to get his shot off is great ball handling, great passing. He works on his passing. He should have been in the skills challenge.
Right.
You know, Klay Thompson beat him in the three-point contest, his teammate who went to Washington State. But no question, Christian, I think it starts there.
I think, and like I said, you know, it's tougher to become a great ball handler.
I agree.
That takes more work. I mean, we could all go outside and start shooting hoops and become a pretty decent shooter.
Right. And Steph Curry shoots more than anybody on this planet.
Right. And, you know, it speaks to more of his work ethic is how he's committed to being a great ball handler and the way that he shoots off the dribble. You know, most shooters want to catch and throw one up real quick.
Ray Allen.
Absolutely. Catch, throw it up.
J.J. Redick?
Catch, throw it up.
Exactly. And you, and you look at last night, you know, Christian, Steph Curry scored 51 points against the Orlando Magic, 20 of 27 from the floor, and he passed Kyle Korver for 128 straight games with a three-point shot made. 51 points last night. And this guy is the main attraction when it comes to scouting reports, and he's still getting 51 points.
Right. It's ridiculous. You know, I was watching Scott Van Pelt's show last night. You know, they pulled up, I think I counted seven different shots from Steph Curry. He's pulling up from, he was in Detroit, the P in Piston that goes across, you know, center court. He pulled up from there, and it was reasonable. Yeah, it's incredible. I mean, it's not like, whoa, why is he taking that shot?
And I don't want to take anything away from Luke Walton, you know, who is the interim head coach, and Steve Kerr, who, you know, is their head coach. But in my opinion, Christian, you and I can, we might be able to just, you know, go to Men's Warehouse, get a suit and tie, and go on the bench, and you know, we can still coach these Warriors to, you know, a record-breaking season. I mean, no question about it. There are X's and O's that go on. But, I mean, I'm playing Ricky and my housemate last night in NBA 2K. We say Golden State Warriors, they're off limits.
You can't
be them. They're unfair.
Yeah, no, they're extremely well-built, and obviously it started with Steph Curry. You know, a lot probably, you know, because of his size was people, you know, discredited.
Right.
Said, we're not going to draft him.
And I think
too little.
And I think, you know, it's so easy to, you know, everyone wants to know who's the best NBA player right now. Obviously, LeBron has been, you know, over the past 4 or 5 years before, you know, obviously with Michael Jordan, Kobe Bryant, now LeBron James. In my opinion, Christian, I know this is a big statement to say, I believe the torch has been passed to Steph Curry, especially if they win the NBA Finals this year, which would be back-to-back, to quote my buddy Drake. I mean, like I said, they will be, in my opinion, one of the greatest teams to go down, and Steph Curry is, you know, paving the way to be one of the greatest basketball players of all time. Skip Bayless, you know, who's on ESPN First Take, Christian, you know, ESPN 2 from 7 to 10 every single morning, a little plug for them, but it's wow. Like he's saying that Steph Curry might be having the greatest regular season of all time. And he's 6'3".
Yeah.
It's unbelievable.
It's reasonable. It's reasonable to make that argument. You know, it's kind of funny to see the attitude that the Warriors have come out with. You know, I still think they're the current reigning and defending champions of the NBA, and people discredited them.
Right. And that's the best thing about basketball is and that's what Michael Jordan and Kobe Bryant always did. They always had something to prove. And last year, Kyrie went down. Kevin Love went down. So, you know, the Warriors, yes, they won the finals, but kind of people kind of put a little asterisk because it's like, well, what if the Cavs were healthy this year? So that,
right.
In my opinion, that's what's taking this momentum for the Warriors. And the best thing about the Warriors is everybody likes each other. There's no drama.
Right.
Look at the Houston Rockets, James Harden and Dwight Howard. I mean, they can't even get a pick and roll right.
They couldn't even get along if they wanted to.
And the Warriors, I mean, these guys genuinely like each other. It's very, very apparent. Steph Curry comes from a great home. He's a Christian guy. Klay Thompson, obviously, he had some drug problems at Washington State. Is, you know, from the outsider's view, he's kind of beginning to get his life together on and off the court. And that's what it takes to be a great basketball team. There's got to be coherence.
Yeah. And you could see it in the way that they play, the way that they move the ball. It's you know, so much fun because we're here at POU. We're here at POU, and, you know, we see our men's basketball team. They move the ball extremely well. And
exactly.
You go ahead and watch the Warriors. They're doing the same thing, and both are, you know, successful right now.
And in my opinion, watching Division III basketball is still unbelievable. I can't imagine what it would be like to watch the Warriors live.
Absolutely. I agree with you. All right. We're going to head into a break here. We're going to take a couple minutes. When we come back, Kaitlyn Voss will be in studio. She's a member of both the POU women's basketball team as well as the POU softball team. We'll learn a little bit about Kaitlyn herself. We'll also recap what happened with the women this season, and we'll move on and we'll get a preview of what's going to go on the softball diamond. So don't go anywhere. This is Mast Radio Sports Talk. All right, welcome back. You are listening to Mast Radio Sports Talk, brought to you by Mast Media here on Laser. That's Loot Air Student Radio. I'm your host, Christian Bond, and joining us now in studio is Kaitlyn Voss of both POU's women's basketball as well as POU softball. Kaitlyn, how are you today?
I'm doing pretty good. How are you guys doing?
Doing great.
Doing all right. Happy to have you.
Awesome.
Kaitlyn, thank you so much for joining us here in studio. And it's so funny because, you know, I'm able to do the broadcast for the men's and women's basketball games.
Right.
And I get a text, you know, about mid-game, and it's, you know, my buddy Christian Bond, my partner in crime here, and he says, we got to get Kaitlyn. We got to get Kaitlyn in the studio. And no question about it. I think the reason why is because you are an amazing athlete. But the best part about today is I think the people, you know, that are listening are going to realize that you're an amazing person as well. So I'm excited for them to hear that about you. So Kaitlyn, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Okay. I'm a sophomore here at PLU. I am majoring in kinesiology. I would like to become a chiropractor. My dad's a chiropractor, and so was my grandpa.
Wow.
So I really am interested in that form. I'm an outgoing person. I feel really personable. I really like making new friends. I'm a pretty loud person. I think people can attest to that on the court and on the diamond. I don't know. I just really like to have fun. I really like to live life. And I don't know. Every day is a new day.
Mm-hmm. I like that attitude.
All right. So, Kaylin, tell us a little bit about where you went to high school, you know, what activities you participated in, a little bit okay. about, you know, your past, and then we'll work our way into the present here.
Okay. I went to Eatonville High School. It's a little 1A, 2A town, middle of nowhere.
John Cena?
Yeah, John Cena there. Was there. That was exciting. That's, like, one of the biggest things we've had.
That's a really big deal to me. Like, that's one of my favorite things, like, kind of behind closed doors. Now I guess it's not, but like I really enjoy pro wrestling, so it's kind of a big deal.
That was really cool to see. That was like blown up, so that was awesome. It's a little town. A lot of things that I like to do back in high school is obviously sports. As a three sport athlete, varsity every year from freshman to senior year. I played soccer, basketball, and softball. Of course, couldn't do it all here at PLU. So I decided to stick with basketball and softball. A lot of my pastime is hanging out with a lot of my friends. A lot of my friends were athletes on my team at one point or another. Eatonville's a really small town, so even when I was a freshman, they were senior, I was still really good friends with them.
Did you know Eric Swartout coming into
yep.
PLU? Okay.
Yep, I knew Eric. I knew Michaela Grady, Lucas. There's a lot of yeah. Eatonville people that are dual sport athletes here, which is
Absolutely.
Really cool. A lot of things that I like to do, you know, small town, we have a gun range, and I like to shoot my gun at the gun range.
Wow.
So,
and these aren't airsoft bullets, these are real
guns. They're real bullets. So that's one of the fun things I like to do. If I'm not lifting or practicing, my dad, mom, and I, and my brother, we like to go to the gun range and shooting.
That's very fun, very fun. So, you know, give us a little background. Why did you choose to come to PLU?
Well, my mom's an alum here at PLU, actually, so that was kind of on my radar. She kind of said, you know, check out PLU. It's great. It's kind of a little like Eatonville, very home, very welcoming. And I was like, okay, you know, I'll check it out. I really wanted to play basketball where I went. Softball would be a blessing to play, but basketball is, you know, my first love. And then I don't know, kind of, I talked to Coach Childress for a little bit and she was just very welcoming, very open. It automatically seemed like she wanted me to be a part of her team, and the way she coaches and the way she addresses herself and she has her heart on her sleeve is exactly who I am as an athlete and as a person. So Coach Childress and I melded really well and really close together. And then when I made a point that I really wanted to come to PLU, then I started being in contact with a softball coach, and she was then starting to recruit me too. So it all kind of fell into place here. I was looking at St. Martin's as well, but there's just something about PLU that's so home and inviting, and I couldn't turn that down.
Very cool. Very cool.
Awesome to hear that. You know, Kaylin, I'm a one-sport athlete here at PLU. I'm blessed to play football for the football program here, and it's hard enough being a student-athlete here at PLU, just
Definitely.
With one sport. Now, you're a two-sport athlete at a Division III university where it's totally academic search, but there's nothing wrong with that. Don't get
right,
me wrong.
Yeah.
But how hard is that to balance? I mean, obviously, you know, it's one of those things where I'm sure you kind of live by the motto Russell Wilson does, no time to sleep, because you
exactly.
have a set schedule and you have so many things to do. How hard is it to be a two-sport athlete here at PLU?
Being a two-sport athlete is really difficult. I'm very blessed to do it, though. Don't get me wrong. I love being a two-sport athlete. It's a very special thing that I can do. My preseason is extremely hard. In the fall, I am doing both of my sports, actually. I'm lifting with my basketball at 6 a.m.
Right.
So I'm up at about 5 a.m. I'm lifting with them. And then I have classes all day because, you know, part of the athlete is the student.
Wait, you go to class?
Yeah, I know, right? And after classes, I have to rush to softball practice, and that's when tryouts are happening, so we kind of have a little bit longer practices of about 3 hours or so. And then after I'm drained from 6 a.m. lifting with basketball and conditioning, and then school all day and then practice with softball, I got to go home and be a student and study for a while to keep up on my grades. Grades are really important to me, though. I feel like to be a success on the field, you have to be a success in the classroom. Mm. So that's a big importance for me as well. It's really hard. Last year, my freshman year was draining for me because I wasn't very good at time management. Right. That's one of the biggest things you have to have as a dual sport athlete is time management, knowing your limits and knowing what you mentally and physically can do.
And I think it's a hard transition coming from high school to college. As a freshman, we all learn time management. I mean, it's kind of trial and error when it comes to college. So totally agree with that.
Definitely. I did running start. So I actually came into PLU with my AA. And so my junior and senior year, I kind of had that feel for a college. But now when it comes to athletics, at any college level is a lot more intense than at a high school level. So I was physically pushed as well as mentally going from a junior college to here at PLU. I was mentally and physically pushed. But time management, I think, is the biggest, most important thing that I have learned to balance as a dual sport athlete and keeping a high GPA.
Well, if you have time after the show, do you mind teaching me some?
Definitely.
All right. I guess something that's kind of, you talk about being pushed mentally, being pushed physically, and
right.
That, I can understand it. You know, obviously anyone who, knows that you're a dual sport athlete can understand that. The seasons kind of overlap, however. You're not a fall athlete and a spring athlete. You're a winter and then right away in the spring again.
Exactly.
It's time to play what's next,
Right.
So, something I'm curious about is, what is the toughest part of transitioning from one season to the next?
Some of the toughest transitions is team cohesion. Definitely, I come in a little bit late with softball. They kind of already have themselves rolling. Granted, I was with them for 4 weeks. In the fall, as I was lifting with basketball, I was playing with softball for 4 weeks. Team cohesion is one that you kind of like come in and have to be a part of. I don't know. It's difficult because even when it comes to in the weight room, we have different lifts because different sports have different lifts.
Right.
So I have to change my lifting style from being fit and fast to kind of being bigger and stronger. So physically I have to change. It's a lot different on your body. So softball is very mental. It's a very mental sport.
Mm-hmm.
When you think of a great softball hitter, she's hitting 450. So about 4 out of 10 times she's getting on base.
Right.
6 times she fails. So it's a very mental sport of
right.
You're failing a lot, but you have to bounce back. What's next?
And Christian, I talked about before you got here, Kaylin, was patience is, in my opinion, the name of the game of baseball and softball. So you hit it right there on the head, no pun intended.
Exactly. Patience. And I've had to learn a lot about patience due to softball. Basketball is a go sport. You're running a lot. There's not a practice where I don't feel exhausted after. And then you transition into softball where it's kind of like, you go, it's kind of like doing a job. You go, you show up, you put your work in, and then you go home. And very mentally tough, very mentally challenging, where basketball, of course, is mentally challenging because, we have so many plays, so many defenses, so many presses, and it's just kind of a different transition. And there's also a different lingo.
Right.
So for basketball, we have a lot of lingo as in, for an example, like a button hook is a type of defensive thing that you have to do to stop the ball, where softball has a different language with, for example, a snake and sling. Nobody from the outside would know what that is.
I don't
but
have a clue.
You're talking
yeah,
gibberish right now.
Exactly. So it's about, your glove hand and your throwing hand. So kind of transitioning, not just like physically, but also mentally, picking up that lingo again, picking up your reaction time, stuff like that.
Awesome. Last question here, Kaylin, before we take a break. Sorry to put you on the spot here. Hopefully,
Coach
Childress is listening, or if the softball coach is listening, hopefully they don't get too mad at us for asking this question. But
let's hear it.
Christian, I got to know, do you have a favorite sport between basketball and softball? If you had to choose one.
Yeah, pick one for us.
Which
okay.
one would you choose?
Oh.
You can give us a one-word answer. You don't have to explain it, but we're just dying to know
okay.
here.
It's so tough for me because so many people ask me that, being a dual sport athlete.
I'm sure there's pros and cons.
Definitely. I came for basketball.
Right.
When I'm upset or sad or something like that, I want to go shoot hoops.
Right.
I would pick basketball. I love softball, but there's something about the flow of basketball with, five of your four other girls on the court with you. You're kind of like working as one. You think as one. You play as one. And it's hard to get into, but there's a specific quote-unquote flow that you can get into with basketball that it's just something like no other. And so I'd have to pick basketball, but I love softball too. So.
If you come next week, you might say softball. Softball, you know, right. Once you get going with softball, but that's awesome. Thanks for answering.
All right. That's excellent. All right. We need to take a break. When Mass Radio Sports Talk returns, Kaylin will help us analyze the gear that POU women's basketball had, as well as give us a look into the future, tell us what's in store for POU softball. So stay tuned. All right. Welcome back to Mass Radio Sports Talk, brought to you by Mast Media here on Laser. That's Loot Air Student Radio. I'm Christian Bond. My co-host today is Kellen Westring. We are accompanied by Kaylin Voss of POU Women's Basketball as well as POU Softball. If you want to call into the show and ask Kaylin a question, you know, feel free to. The number to call in is 253-535-7332. Once again, it's 253-535-7332. All right, you got a question for her, Kellen?
I got a couple of questions for her, Christian. You know, Kellen, as an athlete, you know, we all know it starts in the weight room. And
definitely.
It starts, you know, in off-season conditioning, and you have to get your body right. And, you know, talking, you know, a little bit before the break, kind of hearing your transformation, seeing it on Facebook, Kellen, you have changed everything about you. And it's so cool to see, because it shows how dedicated you are to the sports, not just sport, but sports, because you're a two-sport athlete here at PLU. You know,
definitely.
I like to consider myself a gym junkie and trying to be in the weight room 25-8, you know, not 24-7, 25-8. And I see you in there every day.
Yep.
We make eye contact, and, you know, we're both pissed off for greatness, so we don't talk to each other too much. But it's just, it's so cool to see your dedication to your craft. And like you said, you have just transformed your body. Not that it wasn't great before.
Right.
You know, don't get me wrong, but it's one of those things where you have just, I mean, you've stepped up to a new level. Talk a little bit about why you chose to do that. Did someone push you? Was it your choice? And how hard that's been, and how you know, that's another thing you got to dedicate yourself to other than sports and school, but getting your body right.
Right, definitely. No, I definitely see you in the gym every day. We always give a knuckle bump and
that's right.
Keep going back to our stuff. You know, I'll be very honest. I am 5'4", so I'm pretty short. Blessed to still be a basketball player. I was 160 pounds. So for my sport to be a point guard and have to defend, you know, little fast people, I was a step behind. Last year I sprained my ankle and it was really hard to recover. So I spent a lot of time in my weight room, in the weight room here at PLU. And over the summer, Chris Rice worked with me and a bunch of basketball girls.
Who's amazing. Chris Rice, I
yes.
am telling you. I'm working with him once a week, and it's just, it's one of those things where you think your form's right, and then he's looking at you, and he's like, what are you doing?
Exactly. No, I give him a lot of credit for now the way my body looks, because he's helped me so much. I was 160 pounds, like I said. I was really strong. I was, you know, front squatting 170, benching 150. I was big, but I was not in the correct form or
right.
shape that I needed to be in for
right.
either of my sports. And I can always tell that, you know, I'm critical in the way I play in both my sports, and I was a step behind in basketball. And so I kind of knew, you know, this next year, which was this year, playing in summer league, I knew that I was going to be a big part of this team. And to be a big part of this team, I knew I had to make a personal change. So in this off season and in season, I have, you know, worked my tail off. Like Kellen said, I'm in the gym actually 6-7 days a week for about 2 hours. I've lost 30 pounds.
Wow.
So I am now about 130 pounds at 5'4", so I'm feeling pretty healthy. I'm only benching about 10 pounds less and squatting about 15 pounds less. So I've been able to keep my strength up, but I've been able to lose a lot of my fat and get more cut and lean, which is what I needed to do in order to succeed in both of my sports. It was a really hard process, you know. I really want some pizza, I really want some chips, but you know, I know that Coach Childress and I and a bunch of the girls kind of made this deal that we want to change this program around, you know,
no question.
And not just for basketball but for softball too, getting a new coach, wanting to change this program and continue to succeed. And I knew that I needed to step up. I wanted to be a leader on this team, and I tried to do that not just by word but by actions as well. And I tried to be, you know, kind of like a role model for the freshmen as well, and even upperclassmen. Like, you get in the gym, you can change the way you look, and you can be a better athlete. And we've got a lot of freshmen now in the gym, that has been lifting with us since this past summer. So it's cool because it's not just rebuilding me and my physical and my physique, but the team as well.
Right. They feed off of you. And honestly, you are someone that they're feeding off of. So it's really cool to see.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's a fantastic story. You know, it's shown too. I mean, we can go back, we can look at your freshman year. The team went something like 5-20.
Yeah,
you
we know, did.
It's not the greatest, and we're all looking, you know, way to go up. You know, let's take it over into a little bit of that basketball. And, you know, your team nearly doubled their win total from your freshman year this season. What have been some of the differences that have led to, you know, that increase in wins, you know, going in the right direction?
Last year we lost a bunch of girls. So we kind of were in this rebuilding year again. But a lot of us that were returners and had the heart, we kind of said, nope, this is not going to be another quote-unquote rebuilding year. We have the heart and we have the desire, and we knew that we had the set girls who could kind of make an impact in this league this year. You know, we have one of the hardest leagues of all of D3. We have about three teams who are nationally ranked. George Fox went second in the nation last year, and the year before, Whitman got second in the nation. So we've had really hard competition, and we knew that we were able to stack up against these teams. Big changes that have happened is we stuck in the gym. Freshman year, not many of us lifted. I'll be honest, I didn't lift. That's a big reason why I was 160 pounds. I didn't lift. Didn't really. I just kind of thought I'm in basketball, I'll be okay. Lifting's a big part of any athlete. We kind of made a pack. It's kind of corny, but Madison Hayward and Lacey Nicholson, two of my girls, shout out on the basketball team. We kind of made a pack at midnight at the UC. We kind of said, you know what? Next year is going to be our year. We're going to make a change, and we're going to stick to it, and we're going to hold each other accountable. And all of the new people coming in, we're going to do the same. And a lot of the seniors, we had fantastic captains this year, Lacey Nicholson and Megan Abdo. Absolutely fantastic. We had leadership from Sarah Barnes, Ayana Price. We just kind of had it coming from everywhere, and it was awesome. It felt like a sisterhood that was going to go out and play basketball, and that's a big reason why we were able to nearly double our wins.
Like I said earlier on this show, you know, I get the blessed opportunity to be able to broadcast the guys and girls basketball games, and, you know, Kaylin, you guys just – play harder than you have in years past, and definitely. You know, you obviously can attribute that to Coach Childress, but you know, there's just something different about you guys this year, and I think you kind of hit it why that is, you know, in your answers previous to this question. But it's one of those things where it's just like, it's a night and day different basketball team. You know, you guys are down by 20, you're still pressing,
right?
You guys are up by 15 and you're still trying to score,
right?
And it's so cool to see that. Is that Coach Childress just kind of, you know, unleashed on you guys? And like you said, you know, when the freshmen come in, they see that in the recruiting process, and they see that through the upperclassmen. Is that just, you know, do you just kind of attribute the competitiveness, you know, compared to years past? Because my sister played basketball here back, you know, in 2008, played with Shelly Kilcup, who was one of your assistant coaches. I mean, and it's just a different basketball mentality. Is that what you kind of attribute that to Coach Childress?
Definitely. Coach Childress is a big part of our mental state. We actually have a mental coach who has helped us throughout this year to stay strong, to
push
on.
Is that Templin?
Yes.
Coach Templin?
Yep.
Who's also a football coach here as well?
Exactly.
Yep.
He helped us out a lot mentally. Coach Childress has, but a lot of it has been with ourselves. You know, we kind of took a gut check. You know, 5-20 was a hard thing to swallow.
Right.
We were able to get really good freshmen who were able to contribute. Kristen Sturtevant was a big one. You know, anybody who stepped on our floor on practice was a part of our team, whether they played or they didn't in the games. Everybody 1 through 16 helped us.
Right.
And, you know, we kind of took a gut check, looked in the mirror and kind of said, you know what, we're going to do this and nobody's going to stop us. We kind of just set that mental mindset from day one, from getting in contact with the freshmen during the summer and saying, hey, you know, get over here. You're going to come to PLU and you're going to lift with us today. And it started then, and it fed throughout the whole year. We kind of had some lows and we had some highs, but we kind of just kept looking at each other and say, you know what, this is what we want to do and we're going to achieve it.
And I don't want to put words in your mouth per se, Kaylin, but it wasn't like you guys weren't in the gym in years past. You still lifted. I still saw you a couple of years ago, but it's, but you weren't lifting to just kind of go through the motions. You were lifting with a purpose.
Exactly.
And I've had to learn that at PLU as an athlete. We all do. You know, you lift, you know, some people lift to look good. Some people lift to be a great athlete.
Right.
I think you guys have finally, that switch is kind of been flipped for you guys, where you guys are working out with a purpose. You're in there. You're in there for an hour compared to last year. You're in there for 2 hours, but you got more done in that hour than you did during 2 hours a couple years ago.
Exactly. You know, we're not just swiping in so that our coach knows that we got in there.
Yeah.
We're holding each other accountable. I know when I'm benching with somebody, I bench lift. I lift with the same partner every single time, Madison. She's one of my housemates.
Yeah, you guys are the big two right there for sure.
Exactly. We hold each other accountable. You know, if she's trying to go 5 pounds lighter when I know she can go 7 pounds heavier, I'm going to make sure she goes 7 pounds heavier.
Yeah.
And she holds me accountable in the weight room just as well. You know, granted, everybody has a hard lifting day, but, you know, no easy days. We want to win. There's not going to be an easy day. And we make sure that everybody knows that.
That's absolutely right. You know, we're talking here with this interview with Kaylin Voss, and she's making note that the PLU women's basketball team is working hard all the time. And towards the end of the season, it really, truly started to show. You know, towards the end of the year, the team won 3 of their last 5 games. Earlier, you mentioned George Fox. They're nationally ranked. You were beating them throughout the whole game, and it come down to some weird technical foul or something like that, and you guys lose by 2 points to them. You mentioned Whitman earlier. They're nationally ranked. It took them 3 overtimes to beat you guys.
Right.
Right. You know, those teams are both in the top 4, meaning, you know, they're in the conference tournament for a chance to play in the D3 tournament, you know, the big one. So, you know, I think it's fair to say from the way that you guys play, the work that you put in, this program's heading in the right direction, and you guys aren't very far off. You know,
No, not at all.
You have a couple of years of eligibility left. What's it going to take to get this team into tournaments, postseason playoff play?
I think the direction that we're going is extremely positive. Like you said, one of our first games of the season, we took UPS into overtime, didn't give up. You know, that was a tough loss. So we took them into overtime. George Fox was down by 2. And, you know, when we played Whitman and we took them into triple overtime, and I could barely walk after that game, you know, it just kind of shows our fight. And we actually got a text from Lori Payne, the UPS head coach, texted our head coach, Coach Childress, and said, you know what, you are the team to beat this year. You may not know it, but, you know, teams are talking about you guys. Nobody wants to play you. And we're kind of like, what? Like,
how cool is that?
Yeah, we're trying to make some waves here. And, you know, the Megan Abdo just made honorable mention, which is fantastic. It's her second year making the all-conference mention. Megan was a fantastic captain. I learned a lot from her because she was the starting point guard. And when she'd get subbed out, I was the starting 2 guard, but when she'd get subbed out, I'd become the point guard. And I learned a lot from her. She was a fantastic coach on the floor. She helped me one-on-one. And I don't know. I just think we're going to keep trucking, keep moving forward. Lacey Nicholson is our head captain, and she kind of holds everybody accountable in practice. She'll say, you know what, coach, time out. We're going to come together and we're going to talk. This isn't right. This isn't getting us better. And throughout the whole season, we were like, you know what, this is us. This is what we're going to do. This is what we need to work towards. And it showed at the end, having that little burst of run. So from going from last place to, I think, either tied for 5th or 6th this year, and we lost to only a couple games could have bumped us up to the top 4 that we just couldn't hang on to in like 3 overtime games was tough losses. But that just shows how much PLU does not give up. Mm-hmm. And teams are now starting to, you know, in a sense, fear us.
You're on their radar.
Exactly. We're on their radar now, finally. And, you know, next year we're going to come back stronger and harder and more determined than this year.
And it's so cool, Kaylin, this is a little bit of a side note, but I remember talking to you in the weight room, you know, a couple months ago. You weren't starting, you know, you were the 6th or 7th woman off the bench, and you worked your way into the season in the starting lineup, and that's just so cool to see. My next question, you know, if you had to put it into words, what about the 2015-2016 women's basketball season are you most proud of? If you had to narrow it down to one, you know, my opinion, not to put an answer in your, you know, your mouth per se, but it's just like that George Fox game, and it's too bad I couldn't make it. And to be honest with you, when I saw the score on, you know, D3.com, I was like, that's got to be a typo. Bless you guys' hearts. But I was like, George Fox, I mean, they're a powerhouse.
Oh, completely.
And PLU is, you know, beginning to kind of find their rhythm. But, I mean, is that, you know, is that one of those kind of the highlights of the season for you?
Definitely the George Fox game. And also, you know, finishing out our weekend with our seniors on our home court, going into triple overtime with Whitman.
Yeah.
You know, those are the two big games. and UPS in the beginning of the year, but yeah, if I'd have to narrow it down, it would be these last few games and just that solid push. You know, we knew we weren't in the conference play, so any other team would have given up.
Exactly.
You know,
and what's cool about what you're talking about, the UPS game overtime, Whitman overtime, and George Fox, they were all three losses.
Right.
But what's awesome about you, Kaylin, is you get it because right. you know that you might not have won on the court, but you won overall, if that makes sense.
Right. We don't play, like, of course, every team plays for wins and losses, but what Coach Childress and Coach Templin has kind of talked to us about is defining our own success. What is our success? When we leave the court, we want to feel successful, and what does that feel like? And we felt successful in those games, and we might not have won, but we definitely scared those teams, and it feeds our fire.